as I wait. Heart
Hello,
of God.
Mike, and welcome to the Growth Group Podcast, where we believe that spiritual growth happens better in circles than it does in rows. My name is David Haken, and unfortunately this week I'm not joined by Jonathan Markham, the pastor of New Life Christian Church here in Pacifica, California. I'm not joined by Jonathan because he's a little bit under the weather, but we're praying for him that he'll be right as rain on Sunday. Well, this podcast is here to help you get the most out of your small group discussion this week, and this week we are continuing our series in Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, a series based on a book by Peter Scazzaro. We are in week five now of this series, and it's week five is entitled Enlarge Your Soul Through Grief and Loss. Jonathan is focusing on the Garden of Gethsemane passage in Matthew 26, and these questions for you, these four growth group questions, take you through this progression. The first question just is a kind of a general introduction to this subject of grief and loss, asking you to make some personal application. The second question is the biblical connection, connecting it to Jesus and in the garden. Third question looks at some bad responses that we can have towards grief and loss. Responses that are not spiritually productive. And then the last question looks at good responses to grief and loss, how we are encouraged in Scripture to respond to difficulties. So let's look at the first question. Question one is called Moments of Loss. Recall your childhood, time as a young adult, and more recent years. What losses do you experience in each of these time periods? How did you respond to them? And how do they still affect you now? Again, this is just a general introduction, trying to set the mood, rather serious mood, I suppose, of reflecting on some of the more painful moments that we've experienced. And this, as has been a lot of our questions throughout this series, is very personal in nature. So I encourage the growth group leaders to lead the charge here and stir vulnerability in your members by being personally vulnerable first yourself. So maybe let's look at our second question now. This is a question called Jesus Suffered First. Did Jesus experience loss and temptation like you and me? When? One of Jesus' most excruciating moments was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Imagine yourself in that garden. What makes that evening so traumatic? How did Jesus respond to his deep grief? Where can you apply this balance of honesty and submission in your life? So the first question is kind of an obvious one, of course. Did Jesus experience loss and temptation? Yes, he did. He was tempted by the devil in the wilderness for 40 days. We see that in Matthew chapter 4. I'm pulling up Hebrews now on my computer. Hebrews 4 speaks of Jesus' temptation as well. Verse 14 and following says that since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. No, Jesus can sympathize with us. But we have one who in every respect was tempted as we are, yet without sin. And because Jesus is a sympathetic high priest, we can draw near to it, to his throne, and ask him for help. So did Jesus experience loss and temptation? Certainly. I just sat down for a few minutes and tried to recall all potential aspects of loss that Jesus experienced in his physical life here on earth, those short 3 decades he was here among us, and I came up with this list. See if you can add to this list. So first on that list, I just put down the poverty of Jesus's parents. Jesus was in a very poor home. Of course, he's blue collar, working class kind of thing. But we read in Luke 2 that his parents offered a turtle dove as a purification offering, and in Leviticus 12, it teaches that only the very poorest of families would offer a turtle dove instead of a lamb. So Jesus was part of a family that was part of that category. His earthly father, Joseph, died at some point when Jesus was growing up, I suppose. And we learn this from John 9, where Jesus tells one of his disciples to act as a son to his mother, to Mary, because she has no one to take care of her. So his father died. He was rejected by Israel and certainly by the religious leaders. That constant rejection must have been difficult, must have weighed on him. You see him rebuking the cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida for not accepting his message. His own family didn't believe in him. His brothers and his mother questioned this seemingly rash ministry he catapulted himself into. His family didn't believe him. One of his closest disciples, one of the 12, Judas, betrayed him. Couldn't have been easy. He was abandoned by his disciples when he needed them most there in the garden. And speaking of the garden, which we'll focus on especially in this question, he prayed for the cup to be taken from him. And he sweat drops of blood. That's a sign of excruciating mental torment. Peter, again, one of the inner three, the inner circle of his disciples, denied him three times. He experienced just terrible physical suffering at the end of his life, and of course the spiritual suffering, which is worse than the physical suffering he endured on the cross. The spiritual suffering of having the Father turn his back on the Son, and the full outpouring of God's wrath and the substitutionary atonement for what we deserve and what all mankind deserves for their sins. All of that was poured out on Jesus. So did Jesus experience loss? Yes, he did. But his response to that loss, at least as captured in this episode in the Garden of Gethsemane, is really quite beautiful, where Jesus says, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, and yet not as I will, but as you will." So just complete submission to the Father's will, regardless of the pain it might cause him. Third question. Question number three. This is a question I've titled, "Go East, Young Man." Ha ha ha, don't go west, go east. Go east, young man. Peter Scazzaro writes that our culture routinely interprets losses as alien invasions that interrupt our normal lives. Which of the following defense mechanisms, described on page 124, have you used to protect yourself from this painful interruption? Denial, minimizing, blaming, rationalizing, distracting, or medicating? So this question, again, seeks to speak to negative, poor, deficient responses to grief and loss in our lives. Instead of running from them, we're called to run towards them. And that's what this title of this question implies, "Go East, Young Man." It's from another section out of Scazzaro's chapter here in chapter 5, where I think he's actually quoting someone else. But anyways, this whole East reference comes from this quote. "The quickest way to reach the light," you think of the light of the sun, "the quickest way to reach the light is not to chase the setting sun, that is to run west, but to head east and run through the darkness of night, until you reach the sunrise." So what would it look like for you to head east instead of heading west? So heading west looks like the following: denial, minimizing, blaming, rationalizing, distracting, and medicating, along with many other things. And hopefully in your groups, there's at least one or two people who brought their books with them, and that would help a lot for this question, and definitely for the next question as well, where on page 124, each of these defense mechanisms are described for us. And I don't think I need to do that for you now. You can do that yourself. So last question, question four, called "Redemptive Moments." God intends our losses to be redemptive moments, but Scazzaro warns that we must have the courage to participate fully in the process. Biblical grieving, according to him, includes 5 aspects. 1, paying attention. 2, waiting in the in-between. 3, embracing the gift of limits. 4, climbing the ladder of humility. And 5, letting the old birth the new. Which of these 5 aspects have you experienced, and which do you sense God is drawing you into? Well, this book and this chapter in particular has given us a lot of lists, a lot of symptoms we remember from early on in this book, but really helpful and insightful lists. And this last question points to a list that is not an exception to that. So, paying attention is the first aspect of biblical grieving, and this is referring to just being honest with the way that you're feeling instead of stuffing your feelings, crying out to them honestly to God, much like Job did, and much like many of the psalmists do in the laments that we find. So that's paying attention. Waiting in the confusing in-between times. That's the time after you pray for deliverance and before the deliverance comes, when things seem to be out of control for you. And some biblical characters, waiting in that in-between time, have taken matters into their own hands. Instead of waiting for the Lord to be their deliverer, they have sought to deliver themselves. I think of Abraham, who, when he was promised a son, instead of waiting for Sarah, his wife, to get pregnant, upon Sarah's advice even, had Ishmael as a son. So we're called not to jump to hasty solutions, but to wait on the Lord. Third one, embracing the gift of limits. Now this is an interesting phrase. How could your limits be a gift? Well, I think that when we realize that there's so much in life that we can't do, and that we're reliant upon others for, it's a real gift, in that we don't have this pressure of having to do it all ourselves, but we can rely on friends and family, the body of Christ, and most especially on God Himself to come through for us. And responding to our losses positively acknowledges this dependence. Fourth, climbing the ladder of humility. Now this is referenced by another old monk or something like that. Who spoke of this ladder of humility? Ladder of humility. Saint Benedict, of course. Saint Benedict spoke of a ladder of humility, and his ladder had 12 rungs on it. Well, Peter's adaptation of that ladder, he's chopped off 4 of them. So we have 4 rungs on the ladder of humility. This ladder is found on page 134, and it has 8 steps on this ladder. So again, we have a list within a list here in this last section, but again, deeply important and worth walking through with your growth groups. The last aspect of biblical grieving, Peter is called letting the old birth the new. Now this is one that I've struggled most with. Perhaps it's because Peter's explanation is shortest of this last one. But the common strain you'll read in these pages devoted to this last aspect is that in the Christian life, death breeds resurrection, or death is necessary before one's old life must pass away before their new life can come to be. So this was true certainly of our Savior. It will be true of us when our physical bodies pass away and our resurrection occurs and we're brought into the new heavens, the new earth. Won't that be wonderful? But I suppose Peter is applying this to kind of the here and now, for the way that these rhythms of loss and pain and redemption occur as well. So that's well worth reflecting on. Well, that's a wrap for this week. I hope this little solo conversation monologue has been helpful to you and your small group. Next week, we are continuing this series in Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. We'll be in session six of eight. So we're on the home stretch. Chapter six is titled Discovering the Rhythms of the Daily Office and Sabbath. I'm looking forward to that. I think that the Sabbath is not something that many Christians practice or understand well. So looking forward to Jonathan's teaching on that. We hope to see you then. God bless.
As I wait, heart of God.